Lee and the Nat Adderley Sextet with Jive Samba, the Jive Samba. And I'll get to why I selected that song for today, the Jive Samba. This is from his 1998 album, which is a revisiting of the Jazz Workshop previous album that he put out, featuring a lot of interesting and luminaries in the jazz field. Okay, this is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's going to be a weird ride today, so hang in here with me. First things first, we will return tomorrow and Friday. This is the reason I'm doing this up front. With our special series for Black History Month with Jeffrey Perry, talking about Hubert Harrison, and he closes out on Friday. I know Friday, of course, is Free Your Mind Friday, but we will move it up to today, if it's okay by you. We'll have the venting of your opinions today. And I'll explain why we're shuffling. Because, you know, you got to have priorities. And the priority here is it's Black History Month. And this is a most unusual person being discussed in great detail. On the occasion of the release of Jeffrey Berry's double whammy books, comprising of like about 1,500 or 1,600 pages together, it's extraordinary work, and that should take precedence. I'm not going to let the trial, so-called trial in Washington, D.C., mess with our schedule. It's from what I'm seeing, we're not missing very much. But so that you know, Free Your Mind Friday, technically, we'll do some of it today. And feel free to express your opinions as we open it up very shortly for that purpose. So Jeffrey Perry is going to be back with us tomorrow and Friday, taking your questions and comments and looking at a wrap-up, as I would call it, of these two books. These are extraordinary works. They're making history themselves, by themselves. They're huge books, and they will make a great addition to your library or to start your own library. And I want to say a word there of encouraging people to start their own library of books and other reading materials and visual materials, just informational materials that get you closer to your history. And when I say your, I don't mean just Black folks. This is American history, folks. This is American history. And it is, of course, a unique angle on it, a very different view of American history, but it is American history, and we need to understand that. So that is the priority for this week. I'm not discussing that craziness, that jive samba that's going on in Washington, D.C., and we'll get into that momentarily. What else do I have to make announcements about? I think that's pretty much it. So today we will do a combination of Free Your Mind Friday. We'll do it today. So you have your space. It's not going to be taken away. It's simply transferring it to accommodate our special needs for this week. And, of course, we go back to our regular regular schedule next week. But for today, we'll do a combination of Free Your Mind Friday and commentaries, your commentaries, on what's happening in Washington, D.C. Again, Jeffrey Perry is going to be with us tomorrow to finish up the series that we are doing, a special series on Hubert Henry Harrison, one of the leading intellectuals, radical intellectuals, popularly called at that time the voice of Harlem radicalism or the father of Harlem radicalism. And the reason is he's not well known. He has not been paid much attention to, despite his extraordinary contributions all over the world to the knowledge of the experience, the universal experience of people of African descent. Yeah, well, I took my cue from the music, calling it the Jive Samba. Jive, in many ways, I think, this is me, perhaps I'm being overly facetious, but I can't believe that a country that touts itself as being such an advanced country, with advanced, and having just discussed or starting to discuss Hubert Harrison, that level of intellectualism, that level of intellectual thought with what is happening now and passing for the intellect of Congress, it's a jive samba. It really is. And I'm interested in, I'm sure you have been keeping up with it. I decided I'm not going to do a daily commentary because, well, there are reasons, and we could get into that. But I long ago decided, as a news person, even when I was the editor of a newspaper, what the rest of the world is doing, that's up to them. We have an entirely different drummer that we're marching to. And we order our priorities according to that. In my view, based on how we conduct ourselves on this program, this thing going on in Washington, D.C. falls far beneath what this country is owed and should have in terms of the quality of representation and the level at which our so-called leaders are performing. It's just so sad. And I find myself getting angrier and angrier because you can't turn on the television without some commentary, live commentary. And truth be told, they believe they're doing their jobs of keeping America abreast of major developments. And this is, according to the news experts, a major development. I disagree. It is not a major development, and it won't be a major development for all kinds of reasons. And in any event, our job is not to be the acolytes of the media. They have their reasons for covering things at a particular angle and particular pace. Good for them. We have our own priorities, and we should stick with that. Stick with our schedule, because in my mind, that is extremely important as well. Trump and Congress members and people in the Senate and, okay, it's a drama. It's important to note. but I am not going to displace my programming. And we've been on a trajectory that is informed by our unique informational needs. That is not one of them. We'll know how it turns out. We'll be told. What's the going to be the end of this travesty, this jive samba in Washington, D.C.? We will eventually find out. In any event, we are not able to do anything about it. We are not active participants in it. We are merely observers of events. And so we should take the point of view that however it turns out, we'll find out, and we could discuss it some more at that time. But to make it a priority for coverage, it makes no sense to me at all. It makes sense, though, for us to stay our course and to allocate the resources and space that is appropriate for us to get our priorities discussed. And that's what I'm sticking with. The jive samba of Washington, D.C. could go on. Eventually, it will end, probably within another week, and we'll know how it ends by then. Until then, be free to comment on it, those of you who have checked in to find out how things are going and so forth. But as a project, as a news project, I am not interested to take that on as a news project and divert our attention from things that really do matter. Hubert Harrison really does matter. Donald Trump does not. That's just my opinion. And that's why when I thought about it, I said everybody in Washington seems to be dancing to this tune called the Jive Samba. So I used it today as our opening music. But let's take a look at some of the things that we should be concerned about as this event continues to unfold in Washington. It is important to keep track of what's going on there. We will know, because that's the nature of news in the United States. People who are part of, there are many worlds of news. There are people who have priority news organizations that get exclusives and whatnot. Go right ahead and you do your thing. We will wait and see. And we will have our commentary as it pertains to our interests. Nothing yet has unfolded that pertains specifically to our interests. So when it does, we'll crank it up and we'll talk about it then. But until then, we might as well get our few observations in about what this moment in time means for us in the United States. What does it mean? What is this all about? What is to be achieved here? And from your own observations, is it achieving it? 888-874-4888. We're talking about the Jive Samba today on Lead Stories. Let's share what you are thinking about what is unfolding in the nation's capital and the insistence that we should all be riveted by it. And my thing is, no, just take it easy. Keep tabs. But when we start analyzing, we will have an entirely different take on it, I assure you. Henry from Chicago, you're starting us off today. You're on the air.
Hey, Trish, how's it going?
Okay.
All right.
Are you dancing the jive?
Yeah, if it's okay, I don't want to talk about the jive, Sam.
Okay, good. Excellent.
But I did want to let you know, I don't know if you know or the Lead Stories listeners know, there was a particular guest that you had a couple years ago, and she just made transition on Monday. Karen Lewis, who was the president of the Chicago Teachers Union. Yeah, she made transition on Monday. She was suffering from brain cancer, so she passed on Monday. So and I know you had her on the show a couple of years ago too. So if you didn't know, I'm letting you know right now in the Lead Stories listeners about that. So
thank you. We talked to her in the middle of this battle, and she was dealing with her own personal battle with cancer at the time. And she did not step back from it at all. She was right in the middle of it and very much involved. She did not give up her dedication to the children and certainly the teachers of the city of Chicago.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, CTU is having another battle about, bringing children back into the schools and Chicago public schools is going on. And so that it's interesting that she makes her transition now in the middle of their current battle that the new leadership is having. But I wanted to talk about a particular question that came up yesterday in the session of this thing that you're having with Hubert Harrison. And I thought it was a very interesting question I believe it's Leona from Michigan that calls. She's actually one of the callers that I like to hear from. And she brought an interesting question that I think she presented it very well, because it's a type of question that can go left if it's asked a different way. And she asked about the role of white historians talking about black people. And I also like Dr. Perry's response on it, because, it's a question that I talked about this on One Free Your Mind Friday before, about how, white historians like to tell our history in a different way than what they should be. And so, she and many of us were actually concerned about that as well. And he did a good job of responding to it. And he understood that, when white historians are telling our story, it's a very delicate situation that they're dealing with here, because, you can write your own narrative and basically it either confuses us or basically it's a totally different experience of what we get from it. So I really appreciated her asking that question, and I really appreciated the response that Dr. Perry had as well.
Well, here's the thing. There's another aspect to the response, and I'd like to chime in on it. And that is that many African Americans are very touchy about the business of who tells the story.
Yes.
I like to concentrate on who tells the whole story and tells it well. This book, these two books, I should say, I keep calling it this book, but it's really two books. Jeff Perry has been researching for 39 years. 39 years. And you can see immediately the evidence of the work put into this project. It's not one of those sit down fast and write stuff and then in a month you have a book. No. This is scholarship. And we have a very a shrinking pool of black authors who are prepared or willing to put the to invest what it takes to do authoritative work. Dr. John Henrik Clark, same thing. Dr. John Henrik Clark spent years. Ivan Van Sertima spent years. Those are the scholars that I like to lift up to indicate this is what scholarship requires. Van Sertima, at his own expense, went all over the world in search of evidence and you know, talking to people and so forth. We don't have that. And then, so when people are critical and say, well, you have whites who are writing history, well, why shouldn't they write history? It is history. It is not black history. It is history. And a kind of history that belongs within the whole pool of history. Of course, there's specialists, because this is something that they felt they can do better than anybody else. And besides which, few people were making any credible attempt to produce work of the caliber that they produced. So, like I said, when somebody devotes 39 years to research, you can't dismiss it as just a casual interest in writing the history.
That is true, Utrecht, and I appreciate his work, because like you said, he's done decades of research. But more often than not, you do find a lot of, you know, so-called white historians who will definitely distort our history. And I do think that sometimes we have to vet these people to make sure that they're properly telling it. And then, like I said, when Leonia asked that question, I feel she framed it in a good way where he can explain how much work that he's done. Because like I said, a question like that can go far left and it could be very accusatory. But I appreciate the properness of how she framed it and the way Dr. Perry had responded to it. So,
well, that's the way we are here at Lead Stories. We have a whole different caliber of people. We know how to talk to each other. Yes, we don't just come out and take out our knives and start slicing and dicing. We tend to involve ourselves in conversations at a whole different level, meant to really elicit real information. I've had the great privilege and luck, to be honest, of knowing many black historians and the works that they have produced over the years. And I can tell you personally, I know it, the sacrifices, the personal sacrifices that they have made to authenticate their work and to produce long-lasting work that withstands any scrutiny from anybody. They set a standard, I must say, and very proud of their contributions. Very proud of that. Thanks, Henry. Thanks for getting us started today. All right, Randy from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht. How are you?
Okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much, and I thank you for bringing this series about Brother Harrison to the Lead Stories audience. And you know, it was very enlightening, and I started doing my own research on Brother Hubert Harrison, and I saw Dr. Perry give a lecture out in Massachusetts in Boston, where he actually talked about a lot of his work, and in terms of doing the analysis of this brother's brilliance and his contribution to the cause of the cause of getting us to be at a point where we're elevated in our consciousness about who we are and what our participation in the American experiment has been. So thank you for that.
Prior to you bringing that up,
I didn't know about this brother. Even though I'm a history major, he was one of the people who somehow escaped my seeking. But now he's firmly embedded as, in that, especially as it relates to Garvey, as Diop, and some of the other scholars at that time who were advancing highly intellectual frameworks to discuss human life. I just wanted to start with that. But
thank you.
Yes, no, thank you. And thank Brother Perry for doing that hard work.
I've known him for a long time, and he has been as dedicated as any major scholar would be.
There's no question.
To his work.
No question about it. No question about it. My point is with respect to the Jive Samba. I love the song, by the way. And it is apropos to what is occurring, and I just want to make a brief comment to kind of piggyback on some of the things that I might have mentioned during our last opportunity to converse. And that is that this is a theater, and that we have a culture of being political and economic couch potatoes, so we sit by and watch the drama play out on TV. And the whole point of this exercise is to capture our energy. See, what I think is lacking in a lot of the discourse, politically and economically, is that there are really three ways that people participate in this process of democracy. And I really wanted to call in when you actually brought up that topic, I think maybe 2 weeks ago. But unfortunately, by the time I got in, it was a long line and I didn't get a chance to add.
But
it was a beautiful conversation. But I don't want to digress into that because I'll call in another time and deal with that. But because I know other people want to chime in and I don't want to take up all the time. Getting straight to the point, we vote with the electoral process, but that's every 2 to 4 years. We vote when we spend our money, how often we spend it, whether it be daily, weekly, monthly, however. But the most important way we vote is with our energy in terms of our time, our emotional state, and our mental processes. Because ultimately, that's what economy is. It's about channeling human energy behavior. I mean, if it wasn't a dollar bill, it could be a cowrie shell. You understand what I'm saying? Because that was some of the earliest forms of exchange to deal with human interaction. So if I needed you to do something and, you know, you were good at it, I can give you something of value which would motivate you to act in terms of a mutual exchange of interest. I get something that you can provide and you get something in return. And that is what it all boils down to. So this theater that we're viewing is about dissipating the capacity of human energy to make substantive changes that will allow us to reach our full potential as a human family. The fact that people are divided in their consciousness along political lines, upon class lines, upon racial lines, upon religious lines, upon all these different demarcations, doesn't allow us to concentrate and focus our collective energy in our emotions and our minds to do things that represent the best interests of all concerned. So that is why this thing is doing what it's doing. And like you said, we don't have to figure. We know what the end result would be. It's not going to be in our self-interest, no matter how it goes. and they'll report it and they'll give us. So I think that is best that we figure out how to separate ourselves from that narrative that is capturing our energy and begin to look at ways that we can channel our energy so we can make the changes that we need to save the human family globally. And we can do it, but we have to take the time, which is the number one point of this discussion. How do we spend our time and our energy and use that in a way that is going to be constructive and productive and creative and solution-based, so we don't have to keep calling in and talking about, oh, look at this nonsense that's going on. We need to be talking about, hey, this is a program, this is a project, this is a paradigm shift, and we should begin to invest our time into that, because the more time we spend there, the less energy we give them to prop up the charade.
Good point. Good point. Thank you for teasing our brains here today, because we definitely need it. We are bereft of good ideas being put into action for the broader benefit of our community. And I listen to your point, and I understand what you're saying, and it's worth contemplating, and more worth enacting. People trying to figure out how to get something like what you're proposing done. That's a great solution. Thank you very much, Randy, for contributing today. 888-874-4888. We kind of mixing things up a little bit. We're taking a little bit from Free Your Mind Friday, and we're doing our regular program, which is going to be talking about what's unfolding in Washington, D.C. Do you understand it? Does it make sense to you? Do you believe that what the outcome would be? Would it help things? Would it get us any farther along the line? Or is it going to be more of the same jive samba that we've been dancing to all this time? 888-874-4888. Right now, it's about a good time to take a break. And then come back to your calls at 888-874-4888 right after this. 744-888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I am interested in your thoughts about what is happening in Washington, D.C. as the president, former president, I should say, Donald Trump, is put on trial, and we see where it goes and what it means. I don't know what it's supposed to mean and how that makes it different for us right now in our condition, our collective condition. But if you have an idea and you'd like to express something, this is the time to do it. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice. You know, we've turned Free Your Mind Friday into Free Your Mind Wednesday today. And what's on my mind? A couple of things. The ability of those who rule to use certain terminologies. For example, there are some of the people in the seminar who use the term, for example, the free world, you know, that's Cold War rhetoric. And that, you know, is supposed to mean something about the free world. And, you know, that doesn't make much sense to me. But that gets out there. The term, another term is the term democracy. If you look at the number of dictionaries, it tells you a lot of things, such as maybe elections or majority rule and so forth. But to me, when you talk about the United States of America democracy, there's one thing that's never in effect, and that one thing is justice for all. American so-called democracy does not include justice for all. So in my way of thinking, we don't have democracy unless you have liberty and justice for all people. And that has never been the case from the start of the United States to right now. So I think that is important for people to be careful how they get sucked into the point of using words and thinking that, you know, that it's fine the way it is to talk about so-called democracy, and we have a system where we're far from justice for all. The other thing that's on my mind is what's happening with President Biden. To me, I think this is the time for Biden to throw out the bones. So he's going to come up with some bones that to be thrown out to the people to quiet them down. And these bones is going to throw out, maybe some cash for certain people. And that's nice. And people will be happy about that. But the real changes that need to be done in terms of, I won't call it, what we have now is a sick care system, not a health care system. This is a sick care system. The insurance companies that run the industry of health are there for making money. So they make money when people are sick. And what we need is a healthcare industry. And I don't think that's going to be very easy to get him to give up his benefactors like the insurance and medical device industry and so forth to do the right thing and create a real healthcare industry. So I think that's an important thing. A couple bones will go out, and many of these bones, when you throw them out, you can take them back when the time comes. But a fundamental change is not going to occur from Mr. Biden, because he's definitely in the pockets of those who rule, the corporations, the rich and powerful, the finance industry, the corporate industry, the war industry. He's in their pocket, and he's not going to do things that hurt them very much. So he'll try to appeal to the people with the bones that are going out and small things. Imperialism will not stop. And business as usual has got a different face than Trump, a more, let's say, a gentler oppressor and imperialist. And that is what we're going to get.
I'm curious as to why nobody is talking about Trump today.
Well,
do you have any reason?
I'm not interested in Trump, so you know. But I'm interested in the person that's sitting in the captain's seat and flying that plane. That's Biden right now. So Trump is a jive turkey, as well as Biden. So you you're only going to get jive turkeys in those positions like presidents, because the ruling class, they deselect who is the president, and they let the people think they have, quote-unquote, democracy by having a vote. That's the way I see it. So, that's what we have. And when people are in power, they don't just voluntarily give up that power. The ruling class is in power. They've been in power for a long time, since the beginning. And they're not about to change things around and create a real democracy for people, with justice and fairness for everybody. This is about imperialism and making money. So we cannot lose sight of the goal, the mission of those who, this is a mission, just like a military mission. The mission is to enrich the top at the expense of the many, and it's working fine. I mean, all the information about the increase of the productivity of people, but the amount of income that people have been making is going down while their productivity is going up. So let's keep our eye on the ball. The ruling class is ruling, and they're not going to change, and Biden is not going to make it so that it's any different. He'll throw out the bones as necessary, and they'll be taken back when the time comes, whenever they feel strong enough to take them back. And the rich will be on welfare as usual, and the rest of the people will be catching the devil, as is happening right now.
Thank you. Thanks for your opinion. 888-874-4888. As David pointed out, we kind of combining things today. Free Your Mind Friday, because we do have two more installments on Hubert Harrison, and I've placed the priority on that. I'm not, as you can tell, I haven't been really getting into what's going on in Washington, because there's a whole different story there, and it's not being told. And besides which, reacting as a news person, what you get is you see, I mean, you actually see who matters in this country, according to the various institutions. Who matters? They're taking care of their business. And people of color generally are not included in that. There's no discussion as to what's happening. And so we'll just wait and see how it turns out. But that doesn't mean we don't know what is happening. We'll just wait and see. And we'll also see how it compares to the result, that is, how it compares to what we know intuitively. We know intuitively what is going to happen. Nobody ever asks us. And you would think that since we're so intuitive, people would be flocking to us. Hey, what do you know that we don't know? But nobody's asking. So it's okay. It's okay. We wait and we'll see, and then we'll talk some more. 888-874-4888. This moment that we're in, nonetheless, is very significant because it defines or redefines this so-called relationship between those who govern and those who are governed. It redefines who matters in the society, who does not, who controls the levers of power in this country. These are the stories that are told, but they will not be explored at all in the course of of coverage, so-called coverage, of the trial of Donald Trump. But essentially, when you get to it, you see that at the heart of this whole thing, it's not so much whether he incited a riot and whatever it is. It's a very complicated, but yet a very consistent history in this country. And they're making every effort to make it appear that it's brand new. We have never seen anything like this. We've never experienced anything like this. And this is history making and all this other kind of nonsense, which is, like I just said, nonsense. What, therefore, and this is my question to you, what should we be paying attention to in all of this? What should we cast our eyes on? What is the prize that we should cast our eyes on here? What does this all mean to us regular folk? Is this really about a system testing itself and publicly demonstrating why people should continue to have faith in the system because it can correct itself? It can weed out the bad guys and keep the good guys for the good of the people and all this kind of nonsense that we've been preached at for so long. There is something, just to say, very important that we should be paying attention to as this trial continues and unfolds. The specifics of the trial are not that interesting to me. It's not that interesting. And in fact, it's quite disappointing because you have you have a deliberate effort to not say what it is that we are experiencing. We're being told this is about a trial of a former president, and specifically it's about inciting a riot, an insurrection, as they called it. But is that really what it is? Or is there something more happening here? And have we lost sight of where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be thinking? And how we're supposed to be acting. Have we lost sight of all of that in the middle of all of this because we are so easy to influence that we can take our attention away from where it ought to be? Ed from Queens, what are you thinking?
Hey, how are you doing, Trish? Oh.
Okay, how is by you?
Oh, I'm still here, hanging by my phone.
Okay.
As
always. As
always. In reference to what you're saying, as far as this dog and pony show going on in Washington, I think what we're being distracted from is the fact that we live in a failed state. This government has failed us. And as long as we allow these distractions to supersede the fact that this is a failed state, we won't take responsibility for the part that we play in it, and we won't take the necessary action to organize and to get ourselves out of it. I mean, I can always hear David talking about the ruling class and the powers that be. They weren't always there. They became the ruling class due to apathy, due to lack of action. There are still mechanisms in this government that can be taken a hold of if the people act. And historically, there have been times in history when the people have acted. But I've never seen the populace so apathetic or so willing to buy this BS as now. This whole thing is a sham. I mean, just on a technical level, they don't have the votes to make any type of they already had a test run in the Senate. They don't have the votes to actually enact any type of punishment or accommodation to this guy. So this is all just a show. I mean, we have a dead police officer who were sitting in repose in the Senate, in the Houses of State, and we still have no suspects. We have nobody that's been convicted or indicted of this murder. That right there states it all. That this is just a joke. And we've got to get out of this mindset that these politicians, these rich people, have the power. We have the power. And if we come together and we activate our power and we shut this country down and force these people out of office or into compliance and put new people in, we're always going to be in this state. This is the moment of truth. And we'll see where it goes.
What do you sense will be the result? What will come at the end of all of this little tra-la-la that we're going through here?
Well, I mean, nothing. I mean, to be totally honest with you, on a face value, nothing. I mean, they can't do anything to this guy. They don't have the votes to technically do an impeachment, to do anything to them. There might be some attempt at sanctioning him in the future, but the die has already been cast. And there are certain things that take place that set a precedent. Now a precedent has been set. And if there's no punishment behind this precedent, we go down the slippery slope. What's the next Trumpite person? What's the next egomaniac going to do? And how are they going to get into office? And how are we going to be able to control them? If people don't realize it, this is setting a precedent. A precedent that the only new thing about it is that nothing is being done about it. And everybody's turning a blind eye and allowing this foolishness process to go on when there really is no result. And what that lays the groundwork for is the next thing. Whatever that may be.
Do you think that in Congress generally, that people understand this to be what popular sentiment is?
No, I don't. I think the politicians are caught up in their own bubble. I think Washington is now more than ever in its own bubble, and people are posturing and acting to get public appeal. Like I said, this place, they turn into a cult of personality. You've got congressmen making sound bites and appearing on YouTube and Twitter. You've got the dissension in the ranks. You've got out and out crimes being committed and no one's being held accountable for their actions. And you've got a president who, in a long line of presidents, has committed obviously heinous acts against the state, has violated his oath of office, and not being punished for it. And he's just the greatest and latest example of this nonsense. And slowly, slowly, the state goes down the tubes.
Why is it not invigorating those parts of our society that had just become so disillusioned they walked away? Why isn't it inspiring them to say, we can't allow it to happen. We have to organize. We have to do something about it.
Well, I don't think that's totally true, because there are small fragments of the population organizing around different ideas. Everyone has their own banner they're trying to fly. I think what we're missing is the unity that was in the 1960s, the unity that was in the 1930s, to realizing that one thing, everything is enjoined. That's what people don't realize this day. That's what I think the consciousness is. Everything is enjoined, and one cause doesn't have to be separate of the other. We can join everything and work together for the greater good. That's what I think is missing. Those individuals that could catalyze the populace and draw everybody together under one banner. That's what's missing. I don't know if there are individuals or a group of individuals that could actually manifest this again, but that's what's missing. There are a lot of desperate causes here and there: Black Lives Matter, police defunding, the LGBT, all these, but all of these things have one thing in common. We all want justice. We all want proper representation. We all want the allocation of funds to be correct. And until we can get that unity, until we can find that commonality, we're just going to be fighting desperate battles in this corner and that corner and not achieving any more goals.
Thank you. Thanks very much for your contribution today. And that brings us to the end of our program. And I thank you for being flexible and going with the flow. I want to remind you that Jeffrey Perry returns to us tomorrow and on Friday wraps up the whole series on Hubert Harrison. I encourage you to get this masterwork consisting of two books and close to 1,600 pages added together. It's a comprehensive work. It's the work that we are accustomed to seeing, and it vanished there for quite a while, from intellectuals addressing the African experience in America. It should be part of your library. It can either start your library or augment your library, but it's a necessary work, and we will have the good fortune of having him here with us. Thanks again, and we'll join each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.